Amen. Thank you, team. Well, if you have your Bible, and I sure do hope you do, let's hold it up right now and repeat after me what we believe about this book. This is God's Word. It is a perfect treasure of divine instruction. It has God for its author, salvation for its end, and truth without any mixture of error for its matter. It is the supreme source of truth for what we believe and how we live. Now, open up your copy of God's Word with me this morning to two passages of Scripture. The first one is Romans chapter 12. I want you to turn there, Romans chapter 12. And then I want you to keep your finger there. And then I want you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. Romans chapter 12. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, chapter 12, and then 1 Peter chapter 4, closer to the back of your Bible. I've never met a person that doesn't like gifts. I mean, what's not to like about gifts? Someone that likes you gives you something that you will like, something that you can enjoy, something that you can use, something that will encourage you and bless you, all because they love you, they appreciate you. I love getting gifts. But what I want you to know this morning is that the Bible teaches that God gives us gifts. Now, I know that you know about the gift of salvation, and that's the most important gift. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Nothing can compare to the gift of salvation. But the Bible also says that God gives us spiritual gifts. Gifts that we can use as we walk through life that will bring glory to his name. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning as we look at our third core value. Now, let me just remind you, we've already looked at two of our seven core values over the last 3 weeks, radical generosity and community. Radical generosity speaks about two of our core problems, selfishness and lack of trust. When we give of our resources the way God teaches us to give of our resources, it will overcome our selfishness and we will learn how to put our trust in God. And then community speaks to one of our core needs. And that core need is for relationships. You see, God didn't create us to live in isolation. He created us to live in community with other people. That's why God established the family in the very beginning. And that's why God established the church in the New Testament. But today, I want us to look at a third of our core values. And that core value is service. Using our lives to serve God and others through his church. Now, the truth is, God created us for a life of service. We were made to be contributors, not consumers. God made us to be givers, not takers. And it is only when we serve that we will find the greatest joy and satisfaction in life. Unfortunately, many people go through life today with a serve me attitude rather than a how can I be of service attitude. Dave Thomas, who is the founder of Wendy's, once appeared on the cover of one of their corporate magazines. And he was wearing a knee-length apron and he was holding a mop and a mop bucket. And when he was describing that picture, this is what he said. He said, I had my MBA long before I got my GED. And he said, for us, an MBA is not master's in business administration. An MBA is a mop bucket attitude. And at Wendy's, we strive to help every person understand that they are first and foremost a servant. And at Northside, our desire is that each and every one of us we'll see ourselves not as someone to be served, but someone who can serve others. That's why our core value on service says this. We believe every Christian is spiritually gifted and responsible for serving in the body of Christ. Though there are a variety of gifts, every gift is equally important. You see, if we see ourselves as spectators, if we have a mindset that we come to church to be served, if we believe that ministry is only for those who are paid or who have been Christians or church members for a long time, or even if we feel that we have already done our part and it's now time for someone else to take over, we will never experience life to the fullness that God wants us to. And we will be contributing to the demise of the church. The truth is, each and every one of us who have been saved by the grace of God have a responsibility to serve until the day we die. I want you to listen to what God's word says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. It says this: God has given each of you a gift from his variety, great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Now notice what that says. God has given each of you, every one of you, a gift from his great variety of gifts. And he doesn't give us those gifts so that we can serve ourselves or make a fortune with those gifts. He gives us those gifts so that we can serve one another. And so how can I find my place of service? I mean, if God gives me gifts, if he gives me abilities so that I can serve other people, how can I find my place of service? Well, I believe the answer to that is in Romans chapter 12. If you turn back there, I want to read beginning in verse 1. Follow along. It says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourself by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly." Now, as we read those eight verses, we discover several things that God says can help us discover our place of service. And here's the very first thing. If I want to find where I am supposed to serve in the body of Christ, the very first thing I need to do is dedicate myself. I want you to listen again to verse 1 in the Today's English Version. It says, "Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service." I will never find my place to serve until I am fully dedicated to the Lord. Now, the picture Paul is using here is of the Old Testament sacrificial system. And every day, the people would take their sacrifices, they would present them to the altar, and they would give them to God. This was an expression of their worship. They were doing this to show their belief that God was God, and they were there to serve him and to honor him and to worship him. Now, in the Old Testament, the sacrifices that the people brought to God were dead. But Paul says now we are to present ourselves as sacrifices, not some animal. And he says that we are to be living sacrifices, dedicated to his service. But here's the problem with a living sacrifice. We can crawl off the altar, can't we? You see, it's very easy for us at any time to just get up and walk away from what God has called us to do. That's why the Bible tells us over and over again that we have to die to self. In Galatians 2, verse 20, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. Now, we know that Paul was not physically crucified with Christ on that cross. What was he talking about? He was talking about he was giving himself to Christ as a sacrifice each and every day. Jesus said it this way in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. He said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Jesus said that if I want to follow him, I must daily take up my cross and be willing to die on that cross for him. Listen, if we're going to be dedicated, it's going to take dying to self, being sacrificed, allowing Christ to live in me and through me. Every single day, we ought to dedicate ourselves anew to God. Father, today, I give you these hands. And I pray that you will use them for your glory and your honor. Today, Father, I dedicate my eyes to you. I pray that nothing impure will come before my eyes. I pray that my eyes will only focus on things that honor and glorify you. Today, I dedicate my ears to you. Father, help me listen to only encouraging, positive things. Keep me far from gossip and rumors, lies. Today, I dedicate my mouth to you. Lord, help no unwholesome speech to come out of my mouth today. Help me only, Father, to bring glory to your name and point people to you today. Dedication is a daily thing. And so if I want to find my place of service, the very first thing I have to do is I have to be dedicated. I have to get up on that altar and I have to say, God, today I'm yours fully and completely. Whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, I want to do it because I am a living sacrifice. I want to honor you with my life, dedicate myself. The second thing that Paul says I need to do is renew my mind. If you look at verse 2, Paul begins by saying that we should not conform to this world. But then he goes on to say, but we should be transformed by renewing our mind. Now notice, Paul gives us a positive and a negative in this verse. The negative is don't be like the world. The New Living Translation says don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. The NIV says don't be conformed to this world. Don't be like the world. This takes action. I'm choosing to live differently than the world in which I live. Now this is difficult, because everything inside me tells me to conform, to give in, to do what everyone else is doing, to believe what everyone else is believing. But understand, we will never discover God's best that way. We must make a choice with God's help to be different. A good Bible word for that is holy. Holy means different. It means set apart. Set apart for God's use, for God's glory. And so the negative, I don't conform to the world. But the positive, we're to be transformed. The Greek word there is metamorpho. It's the word from which we get our word metamorphosis from. It means to be changed, I believe, from the inside out. It's a radical change. Metamorphosis is what describes a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. Metamorphosis is what describes a tadpole becoming a frog. A caterpillar looks nothing like a butterfly. A tadpole looks nothing like a frog, and yet we know that they are the same, yet they are totally different. They've been morphed. They've been transformed from the inside out into something else. And that's what the Bible says we are to do. We're to be transformed. And notice how we do that, by renewing our mind. It's only when we get into God's word, reading it, studying it, meditating it, that our mind can be renewed. And notice what it goes on to say. It says, when you do this, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. In other words, when you get into the word, you will discover God's will for your life, which includes your ministry. There are some of you that are here this morning and you're thinking to yourself, I wonder what it is that God really wants me to do with my life. You're never going to find it apart from truly getting into God's word. And when you do that, it's then and only then that your mind is going to be transformed by God's word, and you're going to discover God's good and perfect and pleasing will. Getting into the word, letting the word get into you, helps you find your place of ministry. And so we are transformed by our mind. And then the third thing he tells us that we need to do is we need to evaluate my strengths. Notice what he says in verse 3. He said, be honest in your evaluation of yourselves. You see, once we get into God's word and we begin to study God's word for ourselves, we begin to make a self-evaluation, an honest evaluation of who we are. But I've discovered that typically we make one of two mistakes when we do this. We either think more highly of ourselves than we should, or we think less highly of ourselves than we should. And both of those are equally wrong. And both of those will keep you from doing all that God wants you to do with your life. The first one will lead you to think that you're better than everyone else in about everything. The second will cause you to sit on the sidelines and not ever try anything because you don't think that you have any value. That's why Paul said that we need to take an honest evaluation of ourselves. We should not allow our gifts and abilities or our place of service to either be a source of pride or a source of discouragement. In verse 3, Paul uses the Greek word for think three different times. In other words, what Paul is saying here is we need to put a lot of thought into this. Paul is saying, know yourself. Know your strengths. Know your weaknesses. Know what you can do and know what you can't do. Don't live in a dream world trying to convince yourself that you can do everything. You can't. And the better, the quicker you learn that, the better off you will be. Some people struggle in this area because they're afraid to admit their weaknesses. And so they're constantly boasting about their accomplishments, seeking to gain the approval of other people by drawing attention to themselves. Others are the opposite extreme. They're constantly bad-mouthing themselves, saying things like, I'm not good at anything. But what you need to understand is God has given you unique gifts and abilities that he wants you to use for his glory and his honor. So how do we find those? How do we discover those gifts and abilities? Well, there's a variety of ways that different people have said that you do that. Some people say you discover your shape, and that's a neat acrostic to help you there. But at Northside, what we say is you need to find your stride, S-T-R-I-D. Now, and if you're a runner or a walker, you know that we all have different strides, don't we? Some people have long, graceful strides. Other people have short, choppy strides. Have you ever seen people running or walking and you see how we walk differently? And it's not that one way is better than the other way, is it? It's just that we're different shapes, we're different sizes, and so we have different strides. And so if I want to find my place to serve, I need to find my own stride. Now, my stride is made up of five things. I want you to write these down. The first one is my spiritual gifts. The Bible teaches that a spiritual gift is an ability that God gives us the moment we are saved. What that means is, if you're not saved, you don't have a spiritual gift. But it also means that if you are saved, you have a spiritual gift. The Bible says that every single Christian has at least one spiritual gift. And when we're trying to find our place to serve, the first place that we look is our spiritual giftedness. In this passage, Paul gives us seven gifts. There are several other lists in the New Testament. There are 22 gifts listed in all in the New Testament. Some people say that this list of 22 gifts is a complete and final list. Other people say, no, God gifts the church in every age and every day with the gifts that they need for the church. Some people say that some of these gifts were just for the birth of the church and are no longer relevant. Other people say, no, all of these gifts are good for every age. Now, we're not going to get into all of that. But what you need to understand is if you're a Christian, you have a spiritual gift. And you need to use that spiritual gift or gifts for the glory of God. So your spiritual gift. The T is your talents, your natural talents. These are abilities that God gives us at birth. A spiritual gift is an ability that God gives us when we are saved. A natural talent is a gift that God gives us at birth. I'm sure you've heard of child prodigies, right? Child prodigies are these young children that have these amazing abilities to do things at very early ages. How many of you ever seen that clip from the Johnny Carson show where Tiger Woods was hitting a golf ball when he was 2 years old? Any of you ever seen that? It's amazing. Here's two-year-old Tiger Woods hitting a golf ball like crazy. And you're sitting back thinking, how does he do that? Well, he is naturally gifted with that. And it was proven out. Look at him. One of the best golfers of all time. He was born with those gifts and those abilities. But here's the thing. Every single one of us has gifts and talents that God has given us. Chances are you're using a number of skills and a number of abilities right now that you may not even be aware of. The truth is, a lot of national studies have shown that the average person has between 500 and 700 skills. Did you hear that? Does that blow your mind? The average person has between 500 and 700 skills. What that means is there's 500 to 700 things that they're pretty good at. Maybe better than most. I mean, think about things. Landscaping, that's a skill. Cooking, that's a skill. Construction, sports, photography, art, singing. We could go on and on and on. Now, you can learn to do these things. And you may even be able to learn to do them fairly well. But I think we've all met people that they just were natural cooks. They were natural singers. They were natural artists. You put a camera in their hands and, man, they're performing art with that camera. Natural skills. And God has given us these to use for his glory and his honor. So our spiritual gifts, our talents, the R are our resources. God has put different types and different amounts of resources in our care. He didn't give us these things just so that we could use them for our benefit and our enjoyment. He gave us these things so that we could use them for his glory and his honor. Resources could be money. Resources could be property and land. Resources could be businesses that we have. And the Bible, I believe, says that God gives us these resources not just to provide an income for us, but he gives us these things so that we can honor God through them. So our spiritual gifts, our talents, our resources, the I is our individual personalities. We all have different personalities, don't we? Some of us are introverts, some of us are extroverts, some of us are cautious, some of us throw caution to the wind. I believe there are four main types of personalities. I'm going to give them to you. There are a variety of ways to describe these, but I believe there are four main types. There's influencers. Influencers take charge. There are informers. Informers communicate. They talk. There are investigators. Investigators analyze. They look at data. And then there are investors. Investors care for people. So they're influencers, informers, investigators, and investors. Individual personalities. The D The D is the desires that God puts in our heart, the things that we just love to do. I imagine if I sat down with each of you long enough, I could find out some things that you just love to do. I mean, you start talking about that subject and your face lights up. It brings joy to your heart. And there are things in each and every one of our lives that we love to do. What is it that you love doing? And then the final thing is our experiences, our life experiences. The good, the bad, the joyful, the painful. Someone once said, God never wastes an experience. No matter what kind of experiences you've had in your life, God wants to use those experiences to bring glory to his name. You look at the bad experiences, the painful experiences, the hurtful experiences in your life, and you think those things were there to just destroy you. But God said, I want to use these things as a trophy of my grace if you'll only let me. Now, someone said this. They said, a spiritual gift is what I do. My heart is where I do it, and my personality is how I do it. Now, I don't know about that, but I do know that these five areas make up our stride. And some people like to take a test and answer questions to try to figure out, you know, what's my spiritual gift? What are my talents? What's my personality? All of those things. But can I tell you a better way? A better way is just through trial and error. You just start serving. You get involved, and before long, you'll find the area that you're supposed to serve in. There are two things that will happen if you're serving in the area you're supposed to. The first one is fulfillment. If you're serving in the area that you're supposed to, you're going to enjoy it. Now, you may not think you'll enjoy it, but when you start doing it, you're going to find out it lights your fire. It lifts your spirits. You enjoy it. You're fulfilled. But the second thing is you're going to be fruitful. There's going to be results. You're going to be good at it. For instance, let me give you an example. You say, I think God wants me to sing on the praise team. I love singing. My mother told me that I was one of the best singers she's ever heard. And you come and you audition with David, and David discovers you're tone deaf. I mean, you can't stay on key no matter how hard you try. Well, singing may fulfill you, but can I tell you, it's not going to fulfill anybody else. You tracking with me? You tracking? I mean, you may say, I love to teach. You go teach a small group and you start with 20 people, and in 2 months you got two people, you and your spouse. You may not have a gift of teaching. You may, and you're just weeding out the weeds, but you may not have the gift of teaching. You see, when you find your area of service, there's going to be fulfillment and there's going to be fruit, both. An honest evaluation. Here's the fourth thing you need to do. You need to understand my importance. Notice what Paul said in verses 4 and 5. He said, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. And in Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, this is what he said in 1 Corinthians 12. In verse 22, he said, some of the parts that seem weakest and least important are really the most necessary. And then in verse 27, he says, here's what I'm trying to say. All of you together are the one body of Christ, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of that body. Paul uses this picture of the body to describe the church over and over, and he's saying you are an important part of something that is bigger than you are, something that involves many more pieces than just you. In 1 Corinthians, he talks about the foot and the hand, the ear and the eye, all different parts of the body that have different functions. And he says the same is true in the body of Christ, the church of Christ. Then when it comes to your body, I would think that you would agree that every part is important. Amen? Your little toe, is it important? Hey, you stub that little toe and tell me it's not important. It's important. Did you know your little toe helps you stay balanced? Did you know that? I want to keep my little toe. You know, they tell us in the medical community now that we don't need our gallbladder. It doesn't really do anything today. But can I tell you that God put it in there? I want to keep it. I think there's something that it's supposed to be doing inside. Amen? I want to keep it as long as I can. Every single part of the body is important. Now, there's several spiritual truths we see in these verses. First, every member is a minister of the body of Christ. Every single person. If you're a Christian, you have a function to perform in the body of Christ. Second, every member has a different function. Every member has a different ministry. Not everybody does the same thing. We all do different things. God gifted you in such a way that our church could do everything that God wants us to do. Third, every part is important. There are no unimportant roles in the body. Some may be more visible, but that doesn't mean they're more important. I want you to hear me. How many of you have kids in preschool right now? They're in the preschool. Are you thankful that there are people in that preschool that are watching your kids? I am. Because if they weren't there watching your kids, you wouldn't be able to sit here comfortable listening to the Word of God. Those people watching those little kids changing diapers are at least as important as I am. We have greeters outside in the parking lot. I think they're more important than I am. Did you know most statistics reveal that the typical first-time guest decides whether they're going to visit a church a second time before they ever hear a song, before they ever hear a message? I mean, the moment they walk in the door, they get a sense of, is this a place that I could be a part? Is this a place that I could belong? Every single part of the body is important. And every part depends on the other parts. Listen, you need to find your place of service. If you're here and you're a Christian, your ministry is not coming to worship on Sunday morning and taking up a seat. Now, I'm glad you're here. It would be kind of boring preaching to an empty room. But understand, your coming on Sunday morning is not your ministry. God has called you to a ministry that is to be a service to the body of Christ, the church of Christ. And you need to ask yourself, are you accomplishing that ministry? And here's the final thing. You need to get started. Listen to what it says in verses 6 through 8. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing different certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. This is so important. Because in this passage, Paul is naming some of the gifts, and he's saying, whatever your gift is, just do it. Use it. Get started. This past week, I was looking back at a sermon my dad preached almost 30 years ago. He was talking about seeing a picture outside of their preschool building. The teacher had had each of the little kids put their thumb into finger paint and then put their thumbprint on a piece of paper. And then the teacher drew a face on each of the thumbs. And below it, the teacher put, "You are a thumbbody." And can I say, you are a thumbbody. You're a thumbbody. Everybody is thumbbody in the body of Christ. And if you're not using the gifts and the abilities, the talents that you have to serve God, our church is not accomplishing all that God wants it to accomplish. It's time to get off the sidelines. It's time to get involved. I want you to bow your head. Close your eyes. With your head bowed and with your eyes closed, The first thing I would say to you is this. If you're here and you have not accepted God's gift of eternal life, please don't leave here today without humbling yourself, acknowledging your sin before Almighty God, asking Him to forgive you, trusting Him to save you, giving Him your life. That will change everything. So if you're here and you haven't done that, today's your day. That's why you're here. In just a moment as we sing, and I want to encourage you just to step out of your seat, come forward, tell Pastor Steve, tell me, I want to give my life to Jesus. We'll just walk you through that. But if you're here and you are a Christian, you've given your life to Jesus, then I want to challenge you to get connected. Start serving. Many of you are. You're serving in preschool and students and children's ministry. You're involved in Outside the Walls. You're involved in missions. You're involved in a host of things. But a large number of you aren't. Maybe you were at one time, but you aren't right now. Get involved. Make your life count to the very end. Father God, this is your time. Lord, I pray that we'll leverage our lives for your glory to the very last day, so that when we see you, you will say, well done. Faithful servant. Amen. I want you to stand with me. Our team's going to lead us in a song. Our altar is open. As we sing together, you come. Don't wait on anyone else.